Welcome to the Grappling Discourse podcast. Guys, you have to go back and watch the UFC Fight Pass Invitational. The card that went down tonight is the best grappling card I have ever witnessed from top to bottom. 10 out of 10. It was perfect. If every UFC Fight Pass going forward is going to be like this, I mean, they're going to take over the game. No one is going to be able to compete. Now, the thing about the UFC is they are in it to win it. They want to become the number one place for grappling. They want to create grappling fans. They want to grow the sport. And this is their sixth show, and each one's been a little bit different. They've changed the rules pretty much every time. They've changed kind of what they're looking for competitor-wise, and they've just made a bunch of little changes. And I really feel like this show, like, couldn't have been any better. And they hit the nail on the head. And I feel like a lot of times the promoters of shows like aren't willing to change. They've got the athletes that they like to bring in, and like sometimes they're not the right athletes. They've got a rule set that they want to stick to, and it's just not a rule set that the fans can get behind. Money, they just don't have the money to attract the top athletes. There's a lot of reasons that it's tough to make jiu-jitsu promotion successful. But the UFC, they are a $1 billion company. If anybody can do it, it's going to be them. And what was really cool about tonight is, like, normally when you're watching a big show, like a big grappling card, let's just take Enigma that went down Monday night. So Enigma, which I'm sure most of you probably didn't even know, happened Monday night. It was a 185-pound, 16-man bracket, and the winner won $10,000. So pretty big deal. But if you look at the bracket, while there were a couple of top guys, none of those guys are even in the top 10 in the world. And most of them aren't even in the top 10 of the 185-pound division. I mean, a lot of those guys, there was multiple guys I had never heard of. And while the matches were pretty good, Max Hansen ended up winning, and he ended up winning... Really, it was pretty shocking because he was a late fill-in. He's a guy that normally competes at 155. So seeing him go up and win the 185-pound division was pretty cool. But it just wasn't a memorable event. Like, it's not an event I would tell anybody to go back and watch. But this UFC event, on the other hand, it's a 10 out of 10. And the best grapplers in the world were competing. I would say the top five, maybe even like seven or eight of the top 10 pound for pound no-gi grapplers in the world were competing. Especially if you're just talking about like who's the biggest, baddest, best guys. They were there at UFC Fight Pass Invitational number 6. Nicholas Marigali, Craig Jones, Mason Fowler, Nicky Rod, Victor Hugo. I mean, those are probably the top five, like in any given order. Those are probably the top five best no-gi grapplers in the world. Like, if there was going to be an absolute division, those guys would probably be the top five seeds. You also had a bunch of other top guys in there, like Pedro Mourinho, J-Rod, Cody Steele, Ronaldo Jr. The list goes on and on. But it was really the rules, and particularly just the athletes. There's a lot of times you watch these guys compete, and they're gaming the rule set. They go out there and they kind of put on lackluster performances, or maybe they play too safe, but every single athlete took chances tonight, which made for super exciting grappling matches. And I've never seen a show where I saw like every single athlete go for the kill. I can't remember one. And here's the issue is, you know, most shows have a couple of really good matches, but then they have a handful of matches that just suck, that are terrible to watch, and it ruins the entire event. That's always been my argument with EBI and CJJ, is they put on some of the most entertaining matches in the history of grappling. But because of the overtime rules, there's a lot of people that, or I should say, every event, there's two or three or sometimes even more than that matches that the competitors play super safe. They feel like they're in a really even matchup, or maybe they feel like they're the big underdog and they're just going to try and survive to get to overtime. and you're having to sit through 10-minute snooze fest and then go into an overtime, that's, I don't think, the best way to determine a match. And I think a lot of fans feel the same way. And I think the UFC feels the same way. I think there's a reason that they went away from that rule set. That was the rule set they started with, and they pretty quickly went away from it. And I just loved everything about this one. I like seeing the athletes feel like they have to go out there and perform, like they have to go on and put on a show, because that's what it felt like. It felt like Dana White was in the back giving each guy a speech, like, hey, I need you to go out there and perform tonight. There's tens of thousands of people watching this stream, and you could be the next big thing for us, for like the UFC. Do you want to continue to compete for the UFC? You want to continue to compete on this platform? Well, go out and put on a performance for me. And Dana has shown that he takes care of guys that put on performances. And I think each and every single one of these guys deserve a bonus tonight. And it was just awesome. Like, I would love to know how much these guys got paid, because it was like these guys were paid really well, and because of that, they wanted to make the UFC look good, and they wanted to put on a hell of a show, and that's what they did. Now, there's a couple of really interesting storylines from tonight. There's really three that I want to talk about, and I want to start with talking about Mason Fowler. Now, Mason Fowler and Pedro Mourinho had an insane match. It was amazing, super physical. One of those matches that you could consider a fight, and just how physical it was. Tons of collar ties. There was even a couple of like leg kicks in there. Pedro Mourinho hit two or three insane foot sweeps. So if you're a fan of foot sweeps, you need to go back and see those highlights. Mason ends up beating Pedro in overtime. He ends up winning an exchange, getting past the guard. Then he ends up passing, mounting, gets the arm triangle, and finishes by submission. Just in a beautiful, beautiful arm triangle finish. But here's the thing about Mason Fowler. He's never had ADCC success, so he's kind of always fallen short at ADCC. He's been subbed twice in his second round match. The first time against Craig Jones, where he was guillotined, and then this last time, Owen O'Flanagan hit a really nice heel hook. I think it was a heel hook. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was a heel hook on Mason. And so he hasn't had ADCC success, but he has won everywhere else. He is a UFC Fight Pass absolute champion. He and Nick Yarad are the only two men to win a Fight Pass absolute tournament. He dominated Submission Underground, where he has two victories over Craig Jones. He's done very, very well, but he just doesn't seem to have any fans. Like, I just don't know anybody that's super excited to watch Mason Fowler. He's got a very grindy game. He's definitely put on a couple of poor matches in the past. Like, he's not always super exciting, but at the same time, I feel like Mason should have a big fan base. I feel like Mason's a guy that people should rally around. You know, he just seems he always carries himself very well. He seems like he's a super like blue collar, hard worker type of grappler. And usually people fall in love with that. But I don't know. Mason just, he's always on these shows like UFC Fight Pass, where he's never going to be the main event. Craig Jones is always going to be the main event over Mason Fowler. I don't know if he's too humble and too like gracious to his opponents. Like, even his call-outs are always very respectful. I don't know if that's it, because it seems like jiu-jitsu fans really enjoy the more confident and more guys that are gonna go out there and cause a little bit of drama. You know, people seem to really like the, not full Conor McGregor, but they do like some banter. They do like some back and forth in this sport. And Mason just doesn't really provide it. So there is a Mason Fowler problem, because he is a guy that wins a lot, but just what do you do with him? Because it just doesn't seem like he garners a main event spot. Like, if you say, hey, Mason Fowler is main eventing against Rafael Lovato, it's just, that doesn't do anything for me. But Craig versus Rafael Lovato? That was a match I had to watch. Like, I 100% was going to have that match up. Regardless of how boring the event was, it ended up being the best card I've ever watched. But even if all the other matches were boring, I would have stayed till the end to watch that. But if it was Mason Fowler versus Jorge Lovato and it was a bad card, I would have turned it off. Like, I would have watched the one or two matches that I was interested in seeing, and then I'd have been like, ah, it's getting late. That was probably the one thing, is the card did start at 8 and didn't finish until about 11:20, I think. So it was like 3 hours and 20 minutes, so it did go a little bit long. But luckily, it was well worth it. But yeah, if it was a boring card, I'd be like, man, Mason Fowler, like, ah, I don't really care to watch him versus Lovato. You know, I'll just check the results in the morning. And if it seems like it was good, if there was a good submission, then maybe I'll go back and watch it. And so I just am really interested. Like, Mason had a chance because he was supposed to be the guy to face Gordon Ryan. That's what Fight Pass wanted. It just never came around, you know. It was just one of those matches that, like, I don't know if we'll ever see. Gordon, this week, somebody was telling me that Gordon was posting on his Instagram that his stomach's worse than ever. Somebody asked him, they're like, hey, how do you feel? Like, where's your stomach at? And he's like, it's the worst it's ever been. And so who knows if we'll ever see Gordon Ryan again. But Mason Fowler, you know, that could have been what catapulted him into the limelight. But I feel like he's a guy that'll never truly become a star, even though he gets very, very good results and he does put on good matches. And he probably deserves more than what the community gives him. Now, the second guy we have to talk about is Nicholas Marigali. Now, Nicholas Marigali had a match with Mateus Denise. Mateus Denise is an ADCC champion. He beat Craig Jones in the final of the 2019 ADCC Championships. Beat Craig on points. He's a Marcelo Garcia black belt. He's really good. Obviously, he's an ADCC champion. And he's a guy that I feel like really peaked 2019, 2020. That's kind of when he was the man. But COVID, I feel like it destroyed Marcelo Garcia's school. And what I mean by that is they had really heavy lockdown protocols in New York. And so I know Mateus at that time, like, and the Marcelo guys, like, they weren't training. And I feel like a lot of the comp team guys, like, I just don't feel like there's a lot of comp team guys left there anymore. The golden years of the brown belt crew that was just dominating, you know, you had Mateus Denise and Johnny Grippo and Mancher Cura and who else was there? There was a bunch of other dudes. And it's still obviously like a super good school and it's still like an elite school. But when I say that, I just feel like COVID maybe drove some people away, or I don't know. I just feel like Marcelo's and Mateus Denise in particular, I feel like Mateus Denise disappeared for a while. So I don't know if he got sick or if he got injured or what happened to Mateus. But anyways, Mateus had a match tonight against Marigali, and everyone expected Marigali to kind of run through him, especially the way Marigali has looked recently with his wins over Kynan and Felipe Pena. And what he's done in the gi, like, he just looks like he's pound for pound the best grappler in the world, gi and no gi, especially when you, like, consider both. Now, Marigali, leading up to this, had a sparring match on YouTube against one of his training partners. And I talked about this, and I said it was the worst beating I've ever seen anyone take on YouTube or just on film. And a bunch of you guys watched that video, and some of you guys messaged me, and some of the guys at 10th Planet Decatur were talking to me about it, and they're like, yeah, it was, like, so bad. Some people were just like, I just turned it off because it was just uncomfortable. Some of you guys used the word sadistic and, you know, just, like, mean-spirited, or, like, man, this dude, like, he beat that dude like he messed with his sister. And I couldn't agree more. Like, it was bad, you know. And Marigali is trying to be Gordon Ryan. Gordon has left. Like I said, I don't know when he'll be back. Marigali has taken the place of Gordon Ryan. John Donahue has essentially placed the crown on Marigali's head. Now, if Gordon returns, who knows what happens there, but as of right now, Marigali is the number one guy in New Wave. Yes, Bo Dani's great. He looked great at the IBJJF Nogi Grand Prix, but Marigali is the star there now. And Marigali tried to call his submission. And he said that he was going to armbar Mateus Denise. And that video was supposed to be like, hey, this is exactly what I'm going to do to Mateus. I'm going to pass his guard. I'm going to put both his arms above his head. I'm going to get him in an armbar. And there's nothing he can do about it. Now, Marigali had some really good moments. He pretty much dominated the match. He ended up finishing by rear naked choke, but he didn't finish by armbar. And he looked good, you know. The thing about Marigali no-gi is, like, it's not, like, it doesn't look like super effortless, like, performances. It's almost like he just wears the dude down with the hand fighting. And then he just capitalizes once they're exhausted. But they don't look helpless in a technical way that Gordon makes guys look helpless. So let me back up a second. So he doesn't make it look as easy as Gordon does, especially when it comes to just technical. Like, technically, Gordon just outclasses everybody. And Marigali, like, beats guys, and he definitely looks better than them. But like I said, most of the time it's when he's gassed them out. Like, Felipe Pena gassed him out. Kainan Duarte gassed him out. Mateus Denise gassed him out. And so I'll be interested to see in a match where a guy can, like, really hang with the physicality of Marigali and also, you know, like, perform technique for technique with him, like, how that match looks. But anyways, he ends up getting another submission, and he's on absolute fire right now, arguably the best dude in the world. But his post-fight speech was the funniest post-fight speech I have ever heard. It was, I'm going to try and paraphrase it here for you guys, because like I said, you know, he called his submission, didn't get it. So the first thing he goes, hey guys, I got a rear naked choke. I didn't get the arm bar because I know Mateus Denny, like, I know him and we have some of the same friends and I know he's a nice guy. And even though I could have done anything to him, and I could have armbarred him if I wanted to, I decided I didn't want to be an asshole. And I decided that I wasn't going to hit the move that I called before the match. And so instead, I decided to do something different. I took his back and rear naked choked him. Then he goes on to say that he is the best guy in the world. Nobody else is even close. He goes on to... It's really just about 2 to 3 minutes of him proclaiming how amazing he is and how much he loves himself and how much he loves his jujitsu. Very typical Marigali things. But the fact that he went from like, hey, I didn't hit the arm. I called this arm bar. I didn't get it. But it's because I decided to be a good guy for once. That's what he said. He said, I decided to be a good guy. I decided not to be an asshole for once. And it's only because we have similar friends and I know he's a nice guy and I didn't want to embarrass him. And I'm like, okay, even if that's true, which I don't think is true. I just think he missed the arm bar and all this other stuff was crap. Again, he looked great, got the submission, but he was going for the arm bar. He didn't get it. But let's say this is even true. That makes Mateus Denise look even worse. It's like, oh yeah, like the guy is so bad. Like I literally could have armbarred him, decided not to, and decided to hit another move on him. Now Marigali is hot right now. He's on fire. He definitely has potential to main event. He definitely has potential to really be the main event of any pay-per-view or any card or any promotion in the world. He's one of the three or four biggest draws in the sport. But what's next for him? Because a lot of the matchups, particularly the one that he really wants, which is Craig Jones, he's not going to get that matchup. Craig will never face Marigali again. Unless they offer Craig just stupid money. I mean, I think it would have to be $250,000. I really do. I think it would have to be well over $100,000 for Craig to take that match, because Craig's already got a win over him. And Craig hates Marigali. He hates Gordon Ryan. He hates the New Wave guys. I really do. I think he hates them. And the last thing he wants to do is give Marigali a win back. I think he recognizes that Marigali is at another level, that this Marigali will be very, very, very difficult to beat. He already did it at ADCC, and there is no point in having and running this match back unless it's for an insane amount of money. So that's off the table, but that is the match to make. I mean, you say, hey, Craig Jones versus Marigali rematch going down 2 months, Vegas, like, that is going to draw some eyes. I guarantee that would be the most watched grappling card of all time. Guarantee. And it's never going to happen. Never. So who realistically is on the table for him? I feel like Nicky Rod is an interesting matchup. I feel like that one could be pretty boring, though. I could see Nicky Rod really playing elusive, you know. There's times Nicky Rod's one of the most fun guys to watch, like he was tonight. His match against Roberto Jimenez was match of the night. It was absolute fireworks. I loved it. And Roberto is such a samurai. He is one of my favorite guys. You just have to respect the dude. He is a true, true samurai. That's all you can really say about him. But anyways, him and Nicky Rod, match of the night. So Nicky Rod is capable of putting on matches of the night and really being the star of a show, but he also can ruin a show. He has done that a few times too. And I could see Marigali really bringing out the worst in Nicky Rod. Now, I think you would need some really aggressive stalling calls, but it's just not a match that I think it would be clunky. I don't feel like it would be a good match. So where does that leave Marigali? I feel like Marigali just needs a couple of more matches where he gets to dominate. Like, really, let's build this villain, because that's what Marigali is. He is turning into the villain. Gordon was that. He was kind of like an anti-hero. Marigali is just full-blown, like, he is a villain. He's that guy that looks in the mirror, tells himself how beautiful he is. He's in love with himself. He believes that nobody will ever possess as beautiful jiu-jitsu as him. And I love it. I love the storyline. Again, I thought his speech was just perfect. The last couple of times Marigali has been clunky on the mic, this time he knocked it out of the park. It made me laugh. It made me scratch my head a little bit. It made me think, man, this dude is an asshole. But then it made me think, like, man, this guy is kind of a star too. Like, he just is so good. Or this is like his persona, and he should just stick with it. And so, yeah, I would love to see Marigali face somebody that, you know, he can just kind of run over. Somebody really good, maybe like a Pedro Mourinho. Maybe like who else would be really, really good for him? Even like a Cyborg, somebody like that's kind of like aged out, you know, that is competitive still, like Wagner Rocha, somebody like that. So Marigali can beat him up and just get a good win over another big name and another submission victory to really hype him up and set the stage for like the Nicky Rod match. I just think it's a little too soon for Nicky Rod. Now, Craig Jones dominated. Craig Jones went out there and submitted Rafael Lovato Jr. in under 2 minutes. And Craig is a star. I mean, he is the biggest star in grappling now. It's amazing, you know, when somebody steps away, like Gordon's gone. Like from my mind, like I don't even really follow Gordon that much anymore. Like it's more like people tell me like the stomach thing. Like, hey, Gordon says his stomach's the worst it's ever been. But somebody told me that. I don't even really follow him anymore. I used to, you know, kind of was always like looking forward to like Gordon updates or like who Gordon's facing next or Gordon's plans. But when he's not competing and he's not training and all he's doing is putting out DVDs, he's kind of out of my, you know, space. I'm not thinking about him. I'm not, I don't know. He's just out, right? And as fans, that's what we do. You know, when an athlete leaves, when an athlete retires, it's like, oh, okay, well, like, peace. Like, let's move on to the next guy. And Craig's the guy. He is the biggest star in the sport. The flying triangle over Philip Rowe at Karate Combat. His victory tonight, main eventing, the best card I have ever watched. And beating a legend, an American legend at that, Rafael Lovato. And Rafael Lovato, Bellator champion. First American, I think he was the first American to win Gi Worlds. Like, he's a world champion. Accolades upon accolades, put on some of the best matches in jiu-jitsu history. I mean, Rafael Lovato is another guy that is like a true martial artist. And Craig went out there and smoked him. Craig, on any given night, is the best guy in the world. He just goes out there and beats dudes. And really just goes out there and beats guys in like an easy way. Like, those are the type of victories that you would go to your like local Naga and you would see like some blue belt who's been just focused on leg locks for, you know, a year. They go out there and they just kind of leg lock the whole division. Like, that's what Craig's does to the best guys. Like, he'll just go out there and like beat Rafael Lovato like that. And you're like, man, like, that just looks so easy. But that's against one of the best guys to ever do it. And Rafael Lovato hadn't been leg locked. Except like long time ago to Husamar Pahars. And that was like 14 years ago. So I mean, the dude, very, very aware of the leg game. Like, again, one of the best grapplers of all time. MMA, Bellator champion, American champion. And Craig goes out there and does that. And Craig has all the power now. So that's why I was saying with Marigali. Like, Marigali can't ask her. It doesn't matter if Marigali is better than Craig or has more accolades than Craig. It doesn't matter. That's not the narrative. It's like Conor. Conor McGregor, you don't call Conor out. Like, Conor chooses who he goes against next. It might be Michael Chandler, but if Conor doesn't want to fight Michael, he's not going to fight Michael Chandler. And there's nothing Michael Chandler can do about it. Same thing with Marigali. Marigali can win 10 more matches. And Craig Jones doesn't have to fight him because Craig is the man in on top of the game right now. He just is. And so Craig is going to continue to pick matchups like Rafael Lovato, a matchup that looks really, really good on his resume, but a matchup that he feels like he should win. He's not going to go against any of these like upstart like guys. He's going to choose people with huge names. And guys that he thinks that he can beat. And so it's going to be a lot of UFC fighters. It's going to be a lot of guys like Lovato. Guys that are a little bit older. That have a really good resume. But they're not in their primes of their career anymore. And Craig, if he continues to do this. Just or he's on YouTube. Dominating YouTube. Instagram. Constantly putting out funny stuff on Instagram and just good clips on Instagram, doing seminars all over the world, in Volkanovski's corner, trying to be the face of Karate Combat's new grappling promotion, you know, ground karate or whatever they're calling it. Main eventing UFC fight passes, like, Craig Jones, the Aussie, is going to be tough to dethrone. And he's a guy that... I mean, Gordon's not in the spotlight anymore now. Like, we've moved on, and Craig's that guy now. And Craig can carry a card, and him main eventing tonight was, like, a great start to, like, this is the Craig Jones era. We are living in the era of Craig Jones. Till next time, guys. I love and appreciate you. Peace.